Welcome to the Jones Zone, a podcast by Daryl and JJ Jones, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. Your host, Daryl Jones, a top Orange County real estate agent, has been supporting homeowners for over 30 years. He is here to share his tips and advice, as well as insights from industry experts, to help you take your real estate game to the next level. Now, here's your host, Daryl Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Jones Zone. Today, we're going to have Lance Indez from Prominent Escrow. This guy's an expert on escrow. Some of you are probably wondering, what the heck does escrow do? I know I do. No, I'm just kidding. They do a lot. Believe me, getting the right escrow company to handle your transaction is so important. Mm-hmm. Hugely important. So I'm just going to start off with some questions, Lance, and you can get right into it. So what role does escrow company play in a California real estate transaction?
Basically, we're the ones that hold the money while everybody's doing their due diligence. So you have we have a neutral third party, which is escrow, and they facilitate and make sure that we're following the instructions of the buyer, the seller, the lender, whatever title is going to require to ensure the transaction. We just kind of keep all the glue together, if you will.
And the instructions being the contract that the real estate agents provide.
We follow your guys' instructions. Buyer and seller have an agreement between the buyer's agent and the listing agent, and they write those terms up in a purchase contract. We follow those terms and make sure everybody else is following those terms as well.
Yeah, and I think it's important for everybody to know, you're a neutral party. Well, you're a third party. Are you considered
a
neutral party?
We're neutral because, we don't side with either side. We follow what everybody else is asking us to do and make sure everybody's in compliance.
Right. And for example, if one of either the buyer or seller calls you to ask you to do something, you really can't do it if it's different than the contract.
Exactly. And all parties have to agree. They would have to do like an amendment to the contract where they're changing the terms, or maybe they're changing price, or maybe they're changing, we want to do a 45-day escrow instead of a 30-day. Anything. We have to have it all in writing, and everybody has to sign and agree to it.
And part of those terms, obviously, is the price.
Right.
The down payment, the length of escrow. You guys have to get what's called a title policy.
Yeah, Southern California is the only place where you actually do escrow separately. We have independent, family-owned. Yeah. And even in Northern California, a lot of the escrow is done by an in-house title company.
So, all of California is escrow. And then, for example, states like New York is considered, they have attorneys and
Absolutely.
Stuff.
So
you just fulfill whatever is in the contract. So how does the escrow process protect both buyers and sellers?
Well, because, again, we're following their terms, so we're also neutral, but we also make sure that everybody's getting what they want, and that's what you need. You have someone who has the buyer comes in, and they bring a deposit, and that deposit is determined between the buyer and the seller, and they say, okay, we're going to make a $10,000 deposit, earnest money deposit, they call it, or your EMD. Well, that money, once it's in escrow, now we start doing our due diligence and making sure everybody's doing their part. A lot of times we can't really say we have a true valid escrow opened if there hasn't really been a deposit made yet. So the way we protect everybody is to make sure that, hey, seller, the buyer's coming, he's putting some skin in the game, if you will, or he's putting some money in to show good faith that I am interested in buying your property. That's usually how things get started. But we do that to protect everybody because we want to make sure that the seller is getting what he wants, buyer has to get what he wants. But it's important to have that neutral third party to do that.
Right. They just facilitate what's in the contract. And then you have to pull what's called a preliminary title report from the title company. Title report, for anybody that doesn't know, the title company just ensures that the owner is the legal owner and can transfer the ownership, along with making sure all the debts are paid off.
Sure. So, a lot of times you'll have bankruptcies on there, child support payments, judgments.
Typically
loans. But if you have other items, those need to be addressed and cleared before they can transfer title.
And that's how you protect the buyer.
Exactly.
Right. And actually the seller, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes sellers forget what's on there. We've had that happen, too. So.
Oh, yeah. That's happened quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize. So explain the key responsibilities of the escrow officer during a real estate transaction.
Officer, just again, they're facilitating everything. They're making sure that things are moving forward on a timeline. We do follow strict timelines. There's contingency periods, which I'm sure you know more about than anyone.
Contingency of inspection. But even though you guys don't necessarily do that, that's something with the real estate agents. But you have to make sure that the prelim is in, the deposit, which we just talked about. You've got to contact all the lien holders, or from that title report, you get the lien holders, other typically known as the banks or the loans.
Yep.
And then you contact the banks, right?
And we have to get current payoff demands. Yeah. We have to make sure that those are current, and we have to make sure that taxes are current or paid, or if they're going to be paid through the transfer of escrow. There's a lot of moving parts that they're facilitating behind the scenes.
Yeah, I tell you, having a great escrow officer is such a key ingredient.
And you and I both know, we've been doing this long enough to where if you don't have an officer who's proactive and is kind of reactive, then you're having to hold their hand or babysit them during the process. You need an escrow officer who gets what is happening and is usually one or two steps ahead of everyone to make sure things are moving smoothly. And that's what we pride ourselves on, is you're only as good as your service, to be honest with you. It's a service industry. The better we service and respond and are on top of things, the better and smoother the process is for both buyer and seller.
Sure. There's no doubt about that. So what documents and funds are typically handled by the escrow company?
Documents and funds. Well, we talked about the deposit already. Documents, again, they're going to order current payoff demands for all the outstanding liens. You have the title insurance preliminary report, which is a report from the title company that tells us, hey, we're willing to insure if you meet these following exceptions or requirements. And then usually there's a loan, so we have to follow the lender's instructions too. And the lender starts letting us know, hey, by the way, for the buyer to facilitate this loan, he's going to need to match these following items, or get this, or get this, or get that. And so we follow that, and we just make sure that everybody's doing that.
And you're not only in contact with the seller's lender to get the payoff, but you're also constant communication with the buyer's lender.
Exactly.
To make sure that loan's getting processed on time, and that it closes in time, and et cetera. So how does the timeline of the escrow process align with the other stages of the real estate transaction?
It's really just determined on what they're accomplishing. Obviously, if you have a seller who's selling a house and he's in transition to buying a new one too, we try to align that to where they can close escrow and get their keys for their new house. Unless there's a seller carryback situation, or maybe there's a rent back situation where, hey, we're willing to sell you the house, going to close on March 1st, but we need a month still to move and get everything else. If the buyer agrees, again, these are the kind of things that we discuss during that process. And then they have an extra month to live in the home.
Oh, it just occurred to me too. I'm sorry. But the documents, it's something that often, because I've handled a lot of transactions where people inherit a house. It seems to be a large portion of the business right now.
Yeah.
So you need trust.
Copy of the trust.
If it's in a trust and a death certificate like that.
Power of attorney can come up. Those are kind of documents that are sometimes we discuss a lot. Again, it just really determined on everybody else's circumstances during that particular transaction. So,
what factors should individuals consider when they're choosing an escrow company?
Well, I'm going to be biased, but I'll give you the truth. The truth is, because you're dealing with a very large transaction, it's usually considered people's largest transaction, the buying and selling of their home, right? You want someone completely neutral. We've already kind of touched on that. But I would say you want someone who's not owned by anyone else. They are a standing on their own 2 feet company, family-owned independent escrow company like we are, like Prominent Escrow is, to where there's no bias in this situation. They're not gonna lean more with the seller. They're not gonna lean more with the buyer. They're not gonna lean more towards the lender. They're not gonna lean more towards, you know, the title insurance company. They're going to be very diligent and neutral and make sure everybody's doing their part. So, and frankly, no disrespect to anyone else, a lot of these companies get busy and they have a lot of business and a lot of workflow coming through. Maybe they don't have as much time to be as attentive to your file or your needs because they might have 30 or 40 other files in front of yours. So when you work with us, we make sure that everyone has proper coverage, that we have enough assistance and help to make sure that things are moving. We never want the ball left in our court. We want to make sure that ball is moving forward. And so I would say going with a neutral company who has really good service, turnaround times, responsive, picks up the phone. Really, like I said, it's service. It speaks for itself.
And to be blunt, normally I know in my transactions, the clients rarely know an escrow company or officer. The agents typically develop a relationship with a particular escrow officer and company. And that's oftentimes who chooses the escrow company,
but it's
going to be based on what you just said as far as great service.
Now, we've had times where a buyer will write in on an offer, hey, we're willing to give you, you know, this price, but we want to use our escrow company. And so sometimes that either needs to be negotiated or countered out, or the seller might agree to that. It happens. But normally we see it, and you know, we see it as a seller chosen situation. The seller
customarily, yeah.
Yeah, they get multiple offers. They can go with any terms they want. They set their, I mean, they're selling their house. So the seller a lot of times has a say, but a lot of times the realtor brings these options to them and lets them make a good choice and says, hey, we've closed many transactions with this company. We trust them. If I can, I was going to mention your TC. Your TC is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Transaction
and,
coordinator.
Yeah. And Dodie is so, again, diligent, organized. That is so critical because if she's not helping move things along, then you know we're only as good as the people we're working with. And so.
No, I couldn't agree more. And it's funny. I remember I'm recalling years and years ago, there was some, the other agent called me about some opinion on something. And it was my broker at the time just said, well, go back and look at the contract. Mm-hmm. I mean, point being is that almost everything's addressed prior to going into escrow.
Right.
I mean, right. It's subject to a home inspection, so that could be kind of a renegotiation, but everything's sure. typically considered done.
Mm-hmm.
So how does an escrow company coordinate with other properties, such as real estate agents and lenders?
Well, there's lots of different types of transactions. Prominent, we can pretty much do any transaction under the sun. But what I mean by that is you might have a vacant land property, not as many moving parts. Maybe it's all cash. Maybe we don't need to work with a lender. Maybe we don't need a lender's requirements. Maybe this person's coming. We've had transactions closed in 3 days before, all cash. Came in, you know, 40 grand vacant parcel somewhere out in Victorville, whatever, and it's done. And as long as the title insurance says we're in a good position to close and escrow says we're in a position to close, buyer, seller agree, we closed. We're done. So it really just is, again, determined on the nature of the transaction. Sometimes, you know, HOA documents take a long time. Sometimes
that's kind of the new thing that's happening yeah. this year is HOA.
A lot of issues. It sometimes takes 21 days to get documents.
But that and insurance.
Yes. Insurance is another problem. As we know, in California and Florida, some of the main big insurance brokers have stopped writing policies in these two states for right now.
The government
so that's
has
challenging.
Policies that have forced insurance companies out of the state.
Therefore, yeah, so it takes time to get insurance. It takes time to get all the HOA documents aligned and even pulling copies of the seller's documents, like we talked about, the trust or the POA if they need that.
Power of attorney.
Yes, sorry, power of attorney. So there's a lot of moving parts, but we correlate or we coordinate with the nature of the transaction. If it's all cash, we can do assignment escrows where we'll have a buyer come in on a contract and then middle through the contract, he assigns it to a new buyer. That's fine as long as everybody is aware and agrees and signs these terms. There's a lot of different types of transactions that we can help facilitate.
Which is rare just for those that...
Yeah, it doesn't always happen, but that comes up sometimes. We do wholesale transactions as well. We do also, we work with a lot of investors where they're kind of flipping property. They're buying it for a low price. They rehab it 60 days later.
Not my listings.
Well, yeah, no, not your listings. Yeah, your listings are beautiful. But yeah, no, we really just, again, it's all determined on the nature of the transaction. It depends on what their terms are. It depends on what their goals are. But whatever it is, we help facilitate.
Any new challenges? What are the major challenges? I think you may have touched on them. The HOA.
HOAs and a lot of the HOA problems, just because they're busy or they're moving slower than we would like. So sometimes we always tell the clients, hey, if you know you're getting ready to open escrow here within a week or so, give us a chance to call and order ahead of time the HOA docs to get those going. Insurance, like we talked about, is becoming a challenge, but it's still doable. I would say we have a lot of wire fraud situations, and I don't want to get too ahead.
No, that's good. Let's talk about that because that's a big topic right now.
Fraud is rampant. I mean, as we've all heard in the industry, a lot of the major title companies were recently hit and targeted. They lost 8 to 14 business days of being down because of being hacked by, bad
crooks.
People. Yeah. And so basically when that happens is they're not able to facilitate. Everything gets paused and put on hold. You have per diems where they're having situations where now you have someone paying $100 a day because you haven't closed on time and such. So there's that.
That just so everybody knows, that has to be decided in advance most of the time or renegotiated if the buyer's not closing on time. But go ahead.
Right, but there's a lot of – so that is a big challenge. How we combat that is we have $10 million per file in wire fraud insurance and cyber theft protection. Now, because of that, we are by the insurance companies that we work with that covers Prominent Escrow, we have to facilitate and follow their terms. If we don't, then they wouldn't honor our claim. And that, so it's in the best interest of everybody. I'll give you an example. We will never send our wiring instructions to the buyer's agent because buyer's agents are more public. They're more being targeted by these people. So we usually will say, hey, please give us the cell phone number and email address of your buyer. We'll contact that buyer directly and make arrangements with them. And then we send an encrypted, secured email that only that person can open with the wire instruction. And then as an extra precaution, before they hit the send button, when they go to the bank and they're, you know, initiating the wire transfer, we say, please call us one more time while you're at the bank. Read back that routing number, read back that account number and the amount you're wiring to make sure it matches what we have. Because once you press send, you know, you're at the mercy of whatever could happen. So we do, again, these are additional steps that we take to protect everybody involved. And heaven forbid there is a claim, we can follow it and say we did our due diligence.
Yeah, so. It's funny. I think from what I understand, the crooks have gotten so savvy is that they'll hijack an escrow officer's email, a real estate agent's email, principals, seller and buyer's emails, and they'll make it, for example, let's say it's Lance Prominent Escrow.com.
Right.
They'll do Lance I Prominent Escrow.com.
Yep. So they'll put a decimal point or they get very creative.
Yeah. I had one that was caught too.
Oh, really?
For around $1 million. The buyer was going to send over $1 million to the crooks, and luckily it was caught.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
It's quite a.
I know in some of the questions we were discussing situation, it, heaven forbid or it, this ever comes up, but knock on wood, it hasn't come up to us. But I did hear of a story. I got a client the hard way. When I say that, she called me and she says she went through a situation where they got hacked and she didn't know and the escrow officer didn't know. And she was mortified. Her
She was an agent?
She was an agent.
Okay.
And I've been calling on her for years. Hey, I'd love a chance to work with you sometime. Sure. Told her about our wire fraud insurance and everything. And she says, okay, I'm only going to be using you going forward. And I said, why? And she says, because I had a really bad situation and they didn't have insurance. They were relying on E&O insurance. E&O does not cover wire fraud.
Errors and omissions.
Yes, yeah. Errors and omissions. So many terms that we use on a daily that we...
That's all right.
So she had a situation where the buyer wired in $26,000. That was their EMD amount.
Earnest money.
Earnest money deposit. Yes, sorry. And gone. And they didn't even know about it.
I tell you, as much as $26,000 is a lot of money.
It is.
But I mean, people are losing millions.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, so, but this was a family that they had saved as long as they could.
This is not the first time.
And so they lost, they have to go back and rent now for 2 years because they can't afford to buy anything. And they lost that, they're out that money. That's what I'm saying. It's so important to work with a company that has that insurance because you can file a claim and usually get that money back. But the problem is if you're going out there without it, you're taking a huge risk. And again, it wasn't even the poor officer's fault. She didn't even know she got hacked for like a day or two. And then the money was already gone. Poof, gone. Can't trace it.
And again, it's not always the escrow officers that hacked. It's the buyer, the seller, the real estate agents, et cetera. I mean, I know we've got a bunch of things in place to prevent or to help prevent that.
So that's one thing that we do to make sure that people are protected.
So what challenge or complications can arise during the escrow process, and how are they typically resolved?
We've had situations before where you get into a transaction and a buyer and seller, for whatever reason, don't see eye to eye anymore. Or maybe the buyer is dragging his feet and promising that I'm gonna buy your property, but I'm taking my sweet time. I'm not following the contract. We've had situations before where, you know, the seller wants to cancel and go with a different offer, but we can't because the buyer has their money in escrow with us. So again, this is where we stay neutral. We can't side with it. We only can cancel an escrow if both parties agree.
In fact, on that note, you can't do anything without both parties agreeing.
Yeah, and we've had situations where people will go, we're just going to go to open it somewhere else in another escrow company. Okay, you can do that. But in theory, if you close on that and these other two buyers and sellers have not rectified their situation, they can take you to court. And then we don't want to be responsible as well. So we're going to take our precautions to cover ourselves. But that's a situation that comes up. So what we do is we implore both parties, hey, listen, buyer doesn't want to move forward, seller doesn't want, whatever the case may be, please come to some sort of agreement. And if that's a matter of losing your EMD, then
deposit.
Yeah, your earnest money deposit, then so be it. But that's a tough one that comes up from time to time, and it's challenging because the poor seller wants to move forward. they may have timelines in mind where they're having to move out of state or relocate for work, and they need that money, or maybe they are trying to, you know, just like I said, sell the house, and now they're stuck waiting for the buyer to do his due diligence. So again, as you mentioned, it's really good that these things are addressed up front and very clear expectations are set so we can anticipate what buyer and seller are going to be needing before we get this process started.
Yeah, and that's the great part about it. Even that situation is addressed in the contract. Right. So,
Good.
And oftentimes, this just so people know, that the escrow officer will just be limited to whatever the principals say. And normally the agents will be working on that, whether it's the cancellation or give them what's called a notice to perform. Yes,
exactly.
And then we can unilaterally cancel. Because actually, so let's say contractually, a buyer is supposed to remove all their contingencies in 15 days and they haven't, or let's say they're supposed to close on the 1st and it is the 10th and they haven't closed and the seller's now saying, look, we got to cancel that. So what we can do is real estate agents is give them what's called a notice to perform.
Correct.
And then they are put on the hook pre-arranged. This is already in the contract.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forget, you still need some sort of cancellation signed by both buyer and seller, even if the contract can legitimately be, it is canceled.
Right.
But, and I think this is what oftentimes will cause people to go ahead and do the right thing, let's say, as far as signing the official cancellation with escrow, because you guys have the deposit. So the buyer is incentivized to, look, you want your $10,000 back. You haven't performed. You're going to need to come in and sign this cancellation to get the $10,000 back, because you can't do anything. That $10,000 is no longer theirs.
Yeah. I mean,
both of theirs.
If they're out of contract, then yeah. But again, it's a case by case basis. We do have attorneys that we work that closely watch our ongoings, if you will. And if we need to vet that with them or move it up, we can run that by them and say, hey, in this situation, what do you think is correct? We've had situations where the buyer just goes MIA, just completely ghosts everybody, stops responding. No one gets a hold of them, haven't heard back from them in weeks. And so there is no set time frame. Again, it's a case by case basis, but we will run it by our attorney and say, what do you think? Do we have a valid way to proceed in best interest of
with another buyer?
Exactly. Yeah. And we just don't want that other buyer to come after us later and try and sue us. And if they look at the circumstances, they look at the contract, notice to perform all the other documents.
Try to sue everybody.
Yeah. If this person is not responding, then we've heard, and I've seen this happen, where if it does go to court, the judge can clearly see or say, you never responded. You had a certain time period you were supposed to respond. You didn't do that. They have every right to move forward.
And
you can't hold up. Right, exactly. Yeah, you can't stop a individual from selling a piece of property. You can tie it up, but you can't stop that person. That person has the legal right to move forward at some point. And so, yeah, we've gone through that a lot.
Yeah.
But normally, again, I would say 90% of the time, you have a diligent, genuine buyer who really is interested in the person's home and is going to do their part to buy that house.
Yeah, normally transactions close.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So are there any specific regulations or guidelines that escrow companies in California must adhere to?
There's a lot. Just for the sake of mentioning, I would say there's a couple designations. We're designated by the Department of Oversight, the group that looks over our type of company is called the DFPI. And please forgive me that those words are not coming to me at this moment. Okay. But that's a designation. And then you have a DRE or a BRE. You've probably heard that expression, Department of Real Estate or the Bureau of Real Estate. So I'll give you an example. If you have a broker who owns an in-house escrow company, typically he's only allowed, unless it's an independent, if it's a broker-owned affiliated and it's not designated DFPI, it's designated DRE or BRE, usually that escrow is only allowed to close the transactions of his own real estate agents. So, for example, First Team, if they don't have that designation where they can do outside escrows, he can only close the escrows inside. Normally, that they can't do refis either. For example,
That's another big portion of your market that I was thinking of just a few minutes ago, is that not only do you do real estate transactions, which typically is what people think of escrow, but there's an escrow company involved in all refinances
as
well.
Yeah, when you're refinancing terms with the lender, refis are they're more streamlined. They move very quickly because the person's just trying to lower the rate, maybe pull some cash out. That's a whole other topic we could talk about, but so this is why I love our company, is because we are completely independent. We are DFPI, So we can do any escrow pretty much under the sun as long as our
but
owners.
Most yes. escrow companies in general,
right.
regardless of your company, is there are certain guidelines and a lot of guidelines that the California must, they have to adhere
oh,
to.
Oh, absolutely.
Insurances,
yes.
licenses,
mm-hmm.
et cetera.
Yeah, like I'll give you an example. We have a situation where they asked us if we would do a holding escrow. They wanted us to hold money in escrow for them for a year. And we said, no, we are not licensed to do that. We're not set up that way. Now, some companies are, but that was it comes up every blue moon. But we're only allowed to hold the money during the escrow transaction. Normally, we have to get it off of our books after we close. We can't hang on to those funds. We're not licensed for that.
Do you have any? In fact, I know because oftentimes, for example, let's say you mentioned that buyer goes MIA, missing in action.
Sure.
And you've got $10,000 of their money in there. I'm guessing that there's been times where it's been held. It just stays in your account for months.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't do anything without
allowed
money,
to release
right?
it, right? Yeah. Until everybody signs. Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough situation sometimes. But again, as we mentioned, normally transactions close.
Now, yeah. I'm guessing a lot of people are also going to want, what are the costs, the typical costs
Great
of
question.
An escrow?
This is such a big topic because people are always trying to save money, obviously.
But don't you, there's certain
but there's
standard fees.
Yeah, there's a standard. So basically, we were at $2 per thousand for a very long time, over 10 years. We recently increased our fees to $2.50 per thousand just because of the cost of living and so forth. So you take a $500,000 transaction, we would do 250 times the 500, and then we have a $300 base. The base covers other miscellaneous fees. You're probably looking at around $1,500, $1,600 for the escrow fee. Obviously, the higher the purchase price, the higher the escrow fee goes. But then we always try to work with our clients as well in different tiers. The higher the price, if it's over $1 million, for example, you know, we might be able to reduce that amount. So we're not charging them the full $2.50 per thousand. It really just depends on the circumstances. So yeah, I would say typically it's about what was the formula?
$250.
It used to be
$2.50 per thousand.
Per thousand,
and then a $300 base.
There used to be a formula. I forget. No, it was like 0.5% of the purchase price.
Oh,
would be your closing cost, something like that.
Yeah, well, actually, when someone asks me, besides the brokerage fees, the other fees that actually real estate agents have no control over is escrow, title insurance, transfer taxes,
mm-hmm.
home warranty, possibly HOA docs. And all that typically we tell them is right around 1%. That's pretty conservative. It's normally even less than 1%.
Yes.
But that encapsulates escrow.
Right.
Encapsulates escrow along with those other.
Yeah. Things. So all the closing fees, I would say, normally just under 1% of whatever the purchase price is. So if it's you know, 800,000, you're probably looking around 8,000 in total closing.
Yeah,
fees,
even a little less. Yeah.
Or less. But yeah.
And escrow is just a fraction.
Escrow is just a fraction. Yeah. So, but we have different tiers. Like, for example, a refinance, we're not going to charge you the $2.50 per thousand because there's not a purchase happening. We're just refinancing your loan. So I think we offer 600 all the way up to $1 million. If it's over $1 million, we'll charge 800. But that's it. It's just a set fee. There might be a FedEx overnight pad that we put in there. But we do work really hard to keep our fees, you know, fair and structured. And
let me ask you, this just came to mind. People may be wondering this because I've had this happen. And the great part, too, is you can close an escrow where both principals are out of state, for crying out loud, even out of the country. We had to send it to embassies, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. In fact, we have one right now where they have to send it to an embassy so the buyer can go there to the embassy
mm-hmm.
and sign what they need to sign.
Yeah, or the consulate we've heard of that, yeah.
Yeah, that's
We can do that. We can do it anywhere. Oh, I will mention, if I may, quick little plug here for Prominent Escrow. But
we've only done 35 plugs
so far.
We are supposed to be on about escrow, not prominent.
I will say one of the greatest things that we do offer is a concierge signing service. So we will go.
So a lot of escrow companies.
A lot of companies can do that, yes. We'll go to the seller's house anywhere in the state of California or place of work. We during COVID, we would meet them sometimes at the park, at a park bench, and help them sign and notarize their grant deed, their escrow package. But that has become such a staple, I would think, because a lot of times a seller hasn't sold a property in a long time. They may not be familiar with these documents. And real estate agents are usually busy doing other transactions as well. So we always say, hey, let us handle that for you. We will go right to your client and hold their hand during this process, get the wet signature taken care of on the grant deed, take care of the seller's package. The only form that we're not allowed to advise on is the 593,
which is
their tax form, how they want their taxes withheld or their withholding. that's something they have
or
to.
Or you can't inform. You can't also tell them how to take title.
That's exactly. They have to tell us.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, it's such a streamlined, smooth process. You can still send a seller to a UPS store or to a bank, anyone that can do a notary. But recently, again, we've talked about the title companies. There's been a lot of situations where they do not accept the grant deed signature from that particular notary for whatever reason. Maybe that notary is not in good standing, or maybe he's not on an approved list. Yeah. So I always tell friends, I go, now you have to have it redone, and it just takes more time, you know? Wow. So it's always good to go through someone who's approved, who's in good standing, who, you know, because we've had situations where title won't accept the grant deed. They say, oh, this notary is not in good standing.
Oh,
it happens.
Yeah. So just so everybody knows, it's because I've sold a lot of properties where people are out of state. They say, mm-hmm. well, do we have to come back to close this? Like, no, actually, no, you don't. You can. The main thing, other than the first set of escrow instructions, I guess you can call it,
sure.
and then the grant deed they have mm-hmm. to do in the notary. But we've had plenty of people be out of state.
Yeah.
And we line them up with a notary from.
We'll even do it for them. We'll call them. We'll coordinate a local notary wherever they are. We had one in Maine. I found a local notary up in Maine. We overnighted a FedEx prepaid return envelope for them. Did all the hard work for them. All they had to do was sign, stick it in the envelope, and we took care of it.
Yeah. And then buyers typically are in town, but they too don't have to be in escrow.
They don't have to be in town or in the state. Theirs is a little bit more complicated though, because they have the loan documents, you have the escrow instructions as well. But they're usually typically you're signing more of a thicker packet of documents than the seller.
Yeah, so, those loan documents. I remember when I did a refinance, all I did, and I trusted the escrow officer, so I didn't have to. I just said, show me the rate, show me the term. So I saw the rate and the 30 years fixed.
Sure.
And then I just signed it. It took me a half hour. Signing.
I know.
Without questions.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That could be. So obviously, having a great escrow company and a great, even more importantly, a great escrow officer mm-hmm. is, it's funny. I was thinking on the way over here about our conversation, and I thought, yeah, it's kind of like I'm the coach and they're the quarterback. And then I thought, gosh, no, I think they're the coach and I'm the quarterback. It's so important. When you get a great escrow officer, it just provides for such a smoother transaction and smoother, less problems when you get someone that knows what they're doing.
Absolutely. I mean, I would say most of the officers we work with have at least 10 to 15 years, if not more, experience in doing this. So there's a lot of scenarios and situations that they've come across, that they're educated on. And I think that's critical because it helps. They can answer so many more questions. They can make the process so much more smoother for the buyer and seller, because it can be a nerve-wracking time. This is a stressful situation. You have a seller who's lived in a house for 20 years, hasn't sold. You have a buyer who's never bought a house before, is nervous, excited, but nervous. So the more people you have helping hold their hand during this process, I think, is huge. It makes it a better experience for everyone. And then I'll be honest with you, Daryl, you know, you and I have been friends a long time. The better your service vendors, because that's, let's just be honest, that's what escrow is. We're a service vendor, we're a provider. The better we make the transaction for you and your clients, the smoother and easier it is for them, the more likely you're going to get more referrals from their friends and families because, I worked with Daryl Jones and his whole team of people he trusted, and the process was smooth and it was great. I would highly recommend it to anyone. Whereas people sometimes hang on to the one negative thing in a transaction. And we want to make sure that's never on us, because we want to make sure we're doing our best. Because if we do, they are 10 times more likely to refer you. And that's I think that's what our mentality is at Prominent, is we strive to go, how can we help make the real estate agents who are bringing us these opportunities, which we're very grateful for, how can we make them look better? How can we make things easier for them?
And it's really, there's no doubt. I mean, having the right escrow officer that can alleviate, and I know I've had transactions where everything was beautiful. I mean, we got them a much higher price than they anticipated. Everything was smooth as can be. It wasn't on the market forever. We really nailed down the negotiations, et cetera. And then at the very end, it doesn't close on time because an escrow officer messed up or on something.
Or missed the document or forgot something small.
Oh, yeah.
And it can be a nightmare. And then I don't want to get too much into it, but you and I both know there's situations where I'll get, like, for example, LA County. If the property is in LA County, it has to record the following morning.
So unless you get a title officer, this is a little known thing.
Yeah.
You have to hand deliver
someone's to the county. Yep.
Yeah. Which happens.
It's so rare.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, sometimes people will get excited and they want the house now. It's Friday afternoon. They've already got the moving truck. And guess what? It's not going to record till Monday morning. They're taking a huge risk if they try to move in the house because legally it's not in their name yet. So that kind of stuff comes up. But I would say, again, the better we communicate, better that we are available. And that's another thing I'll pride ourselves on is answering our phones. Our team, even after hours on the weekends, you can always get a hold of myself or anyone else. We are there to help make sure that people have their questions answered, even if it's something small. Sometimes it could just be a peace of mind factor. Hey, did the loan docs come in? Great. Okay. Have a good weekend. I'll see you on Monday. That's pretty. Sometimes people just want to be reassured.
Peace of mind.
Yeah. But, and we do that.
Well, on that note, tell our listeners if anybody has a question about something we may not have covered or they want to contact you because they think you're so cute.
Oh, gosh. Those days are over.
How do we get a hold of Lance?
Well, I'm at 714-423-6882 is my cell phone.
What is that again?
714-423-6882 is my cell phone. Call me anytime, or you can email me at lance@prominentescrow.com.
All right.
And, yeah.
Well, I want to just thank you so much for coming here and doing this.
So much
like
fun.
Like Lance had mentioned previously, we've known each other for quite a while now. And in fact, on the way here, I thought, because I'll ask my guests, have you done a podcast to find out the comfort level? And I thought, wait a minute.
We have,
Lance and I, around 10 years ago, did a radio show together.
It was awesome. Yeah. The Ron Siegel show. Yeah.
Yeah. That so was fun. We did have that. So, hey, thank you very
much. Thank you
much.
For having me. I'm very grateful. It was fun.
I appreciate it. And if anybody has any questions, contact me or Lance. And please hit the subscribe button if you found this useful. We got a lot of other great shows. And this, is, of course, was our show about escrow. Hopefully, you're a little bit more informed than you were 45 minutes ago.
Sounds good.
Take care, Daryl.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into The Jones Zone, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. If you found this information and insights shared in today's episode valuable, be sure to head over to iTunes to rate the show. Leave a review and subscribe so that you don't miss another episode. Remember, when it comes to real estate, knowledge is power. Stay informed and stay ahead of the game with us. I'll be back next week with even more expert advice and industry insights. Don't miss it. Thank you.